This is Juno Afternoon. KTOO Public Media would like to acknowledge the Tse-Nedi, whose main crests are the raven and dog salmon, and the Wushkitan with the shark, wolf, and eagle as their main crests of the Akkwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once Thailand and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who regarded the Thailands as a source of food and part of their home, who maintained smokehouses on the Thailands. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and the broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunach chish for your patience as we learn. Our first guest is here on the show to talk about this weekend's 2020 Native Youth Olympics traditional games at Yada Akasle JDHS. Welcome to the show, Kayak Kyle Whirl. It's so nice to have you here. Yak e ikwasatini.
Yak e ikwasatini.
Wasa idu asak.
Chet yak e wa e.
Dleka chenach ska burten yu chet du asak. Gunal chish. Wasa idu asak.
Kayak yu chet du asak.
It's so nice to have you here. I had the honor of taking Tlingit language from you last semester, and I'm thankful for everything that you taught me. And now you're here in a different capacity, as a teacher, nonetheless, a coach of Native Youth Olympics. When did you become a coach, or when did you start participating in Native Youth Olympics?
I started participating in high school, my senior year of high school. I was familiar with the games from my dad, who was a competitor in the 80s and 90s, and so I kind of grew up around it. But for me, I didn't join till my senior year, and I think it was just I was more of a reserved, quiet student in school, and I didn't think I'd be any good, and I was worried about joining something new. So it took a lot of encouragement for me to join NYO, but it's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made, because here I am today coaching, hosting these events, and I have my own athletes that I can now pass on this knowledge. And so for me, I think about that a lot, the stage that I was in as a young person and how NYO came into my life and was that support that I needed. And so that's my mission, is to provide NYO that opportunity for any student that is interested.
And take us back, even like when you were a kid and you were watching your dad, what was that like for you?
So my dad was competing like when I was really young at the World Eskimo in the Olympics. And I remember being at the events. I don't remember paying much attention besides running around the hallways. But it was kind of in the back of my mind, just kind of seeing the games. And then it really wasn't until high school that I got reintroduced to them. And it was my family that kept encouraging me, saying, hey, there's this sport called Native Youth Olympics, and you should do it. We think you'd be good. Your dad did them. And I kind of just flat out said no. And that was kind of my mentality for several years. It wasn't until my senior year that I actually felt like I was ready to take that challenge. And I had enough encouragement and people telling me, hey, you should join this. And so even with my recruiting now, I really feel like I want to be as encouraging as possible. And I repeatedly tell people, hey, this is an opportunity for you. It's happening here. You're welcome to join us. And so I'm always kind of on repeat with that, even if I've already told someone, because I know for a lot of people, it's challenging to join something new.
Got it. What were you like pre-Native Youth Olympics, and once you got into it, did it change you as you said, a senior in high school, right?
Yeah. So in high school, I didn't do very many sports or after-school activities. I was more to myself. I guess I'd be described as a pretty shy person. And I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. I was feeling, I guess, as a lot of high schoolers are, a bit lost and worried about how to get through high school. What am I going to do after high school? And I think Native Youth Olympics just came at a good time. I wish I joined earlier, but it came at a good time at my senior year of high school, where I was in that transition. And I do remember my first practices, and this was in Anchorage, and it was at the Alaska Native Heritage Center. And they came to my school, and they did this like recruitment, and I said, hey, sure, I'll try it out. And I remember my first few practices, I loved it right away. I just felt like being there, I could be myself. I could, I felt like I belonged. I felt like my Native identity was embraced and celebrated, which I went to South Anchorage High School, which is a very large high school, where sometimes it was more challenging to be Alaska Native and to feel like you're represented in any way. And so it was really eye-opening for me to join this program that's centered around these traditional Native games and that celebrate the games in a really positive, strong way.
All right. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Kyle Wuerl about this weekend's Native Youth Olympics 2020 Traditional Games at Yada Akasle, JDHS. Maybe we should jump into a little bit of the details about what's going on there this weekend.
Sure. So starting this Saturday, we have opening ceremonies for the 2020 Traditional Games, and we are welcoming teams from across Southeast in Alaska. The teams we have lined up so far are Metlakatla, Ketchikan, Craig, Heidelberg, White Horse, Anchorage, Nome, Bethel. We have six local Juno teams from all three high schools, both middle schools, and we have three college teams, which I'm really excited about this year. We have University of Alaska Southeast, we have Alaska Pacific University, and we have Northern Arizona University. And so I think that's really great to expand this sport into the collegiate level, where for the most part, there's very little activity around traditional games and having teams and traveling teams. But there are so many high school students that participate. This is their main sport in high school. And I think it should be available at the colleges just like any other sport is. And so, I mean, it's encouraging for those athletes to see, hey, I can go to college and continue in this sport. So that's something I'm excited to see those three college teams participate.
And how excited, right, like you said, to see those high school kids interact and watch the college kids.
Yep.
That'd be really inspirational, I can imagine. Learn about Northern Arizona University.
Yeah, that one's this is their second year coming, and so their athlete or their coach is was an athlete. She's from Fairbanks. She has roots in Arizona as well, but she's brought the games all the way down to Arizona, which I think is super exciting. And they have a small team. It's four students, but they've been training for the past several weeks.
All right. You know, and so I see things begin, the opening ceremony at 9 a.m. on Saturday at JDHS Yada Akasle. Is that right?
Yep. And then opening ceremony is 9 to 10. The first event is the scissor broad jump. Each day consists of five different events. So it's Saturday and Sunday, about 9 to 5 each day. And each one of the events are traditional indigenous games that come from various places across the north. For the most part, most of the games come from the Arctic, and they come from the Inupiaq or the Inuit or the Diné or Yupik cultural groups. But there's various different games from many different areas. And they were originally created by hunters as a way to train their bodies, as a way to stay fit during the winter, also as a way to pass the time, have fun. But I think that the games are really unique in that way, and some of them incorporate survival skills. So that first game on Saturday is a scissor broad jump at 10 a.m., and it's a game that represents ice hopping. So it's a four-step jump where you have to go as far as you can while maintaining that balance. And it's something that originally trained hunters for being out on the ice and training for agility, coordination, and balance. And it's a survival skill game because in the sport you're trying to go your furthest, you're trying to maintain that balance. But in the real life situation, when you get out onto that ice, if you're a hunter and you're traveling on that ice, if you don't have that balance or agility or coordination, you may fall in that icy cold water, and that's life and death. So these were games that really trained for real life situations and living on this land and in a northern climate.
What's your specialty?
My specialty might be the knuckle hop, which is our very last event. And so it's a game of endurance, and it really can be quite grueling. And so that's why it's usually at the end of the event. And I'm an open male. So we have a middle school division, a high school division, and an adult open male division. And between the divisions, there's a few different styles. And so the younger kids have a junior style where they're in an upper push-up position in a plank where they have to hop in that position. And it's supposed to mimic the motion of a seal out on the ice. The high schoolers do something similar with their fingers curled in and in a lower push-up position. And then when you get to the adult division, it's done on your knuckles. And so you're in this push-up position, hopping on your knuckles and your toes, trying to go as far as you can go in continuous movement. And so
on a hardwood floor.
Yeah, a hardwood floor. It's a game of endurance. Your muscles will begin to burn, but it's all about pushing your limits and going as far as you can. For me, the pain in my knuckles, I just have so much adrenaline when the game starts and people start cheering and you start going further and further that I don't even think about the pain in my knuckles. But if you look at them after, the skin is completely torn away. Sometimes you're bleeding or leaving a trail of blood as you're hopping along that floor. And so it's just as much of a physical game as it is a mental test.
So you mentioned open man. Are other people invited to come participate this weekend?
Yep.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, so this is open registration. You can just walk in the door. I just recommend looking at the schedule to see when the event starts and be there 30 minutes prior. And you can come as an individual. You could come as a team. We have some individuals coming from Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Utqiagvik, all participating as individuals. So you don't necessarily need to be with a team. Another thing that's different about this sport, it comes from our indigenous culture, where I think the mentality of the sport is different than some other mainstream sports, where competition is not the most important part of the event. It's about coming together as a community to celebrate the games. And many people are new to the sport, especially here in Southeast. This is kind of a growing activity that we're trying to reintroduce. And so a lot of people, we tell them, just go into it and experience the games through participation and learn through the event. So you don't necessarily need to be really experienced or well-trained. If you just jump into them, some of them aren't too challenging to jump into, like the Dene stick pull is a grease stick, and there's some rules, and they go over the rules in the beginning. But I think there's some good games like the Dene stick pull or the Inuit stick pull that people could just jump into them and have a fun time. The kicking ones are also, I think, really exciting. Those are some of the most exciting ones. You just got to make sure you do some warm-ups and stretches before you attempt those ones.
All right, and you have some special guests as well, right?
Yeah, so this year we have Nick Hansen. He's from Uniclete, and he's well-known for being on American Ninja Warrior for several seasons. He's also the world record holder for the scissor broad jump, and he's from Uniclete. He's a coach for Uniclete, and he's also a teammate of myself. We've trained together, and we've competed internationally at a few different events. And he's really just an awesome person. He has a great personality where he's out there on the floor supporting the athletes, coaching the athletes. He really embodies the spirit of the games, that we're all coming together to help each other succeed. And so we're excited to have him at the event to kind of share his journey, to share his coaching techniques. And he's going to show blanket toss at opening ceremony. And so that'll be pretty exciting because he's well known for blanket toss as well. And if you don't know what blanket toss is we have a a bearded sealskin blanket, and it's probably made out of, I don't know, maybe a dozen sealskins that are sewn together to make a very large 10 to 12 foot in diameter blanket that we have 40 people come around and take a loop on the end. And I guess you could think of it like a trampoline. It's not the same, but it's kind of the same idea. Is you have this large blanket, but it's powered by people pulling on it. Someone stands in the center, and if you have really good pullers and you're in sync, you can throw somebody 30 feet in the air. And someone like Nick Hansen, who's really experienced in this, can do flips and all sorts of cool things in the air. So it's an exciting event to watch, and we have our athletes try it out too. We'll select one athlete from each team to try out the blanket toss.
Looks like that's at about 9:30 on Saturday morning. Is that right?
9:30 Saturday morning. We'll probably fit it in if there's any breaks. It's just a lot of excitement to watch. And I think it's a good representation of what the games are about. People coming, pulling together to help somebody reach new heights.
Did I see live music as well?
We have three groups coming to perform. So opening ceremony, we have Caitlin Lewis. She started a Yupik dance group, a Yugok group that's going to be performing during opening. They're going to do a few songs. And then at noon, we have Arias Hoyle, who's going to perform. He's a rap performer. And then on Sunday morning, we have Woosh Ji-in, who will perform as well, Saturday, 9 a.m.
Wow, a lot going on this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're super excited, and we encourage anybody, if you've never seen the games, come out and check them out. It's a free event, free admission. You can just really just walk into the event. We have a artist market going on at the same time, and I really just want to expose as many people as possible to see what these games are about and to build that excitement. Our team here in Southeast, we're always trying to grow it bigger. We're working with other communities throughout Southeast to start their own NYO programs. And so I think just building an awareness around what is this sport. It is from Alaska. So I think it's all part of our collective heritage as Alaskans to be familiar with the sport that was created here thousands of years ago.
Free and open to the public starts Saturday at 9 a.m. at JDA Chesiada Akasle. Same thing on Sunday, 9 a.m. Like you said, it's free to the public.
Yep, free.
Show up. Lots of stuff going on. Kyle Wuerl, Gunachish, for coming on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it. Yeah, I appreciate being invited on. Gunachish.
All right, thank you.